This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The man who is president, right as we kick off this hour. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you're having a fabulous week. If not, we're on the other side of it. You know what they say, you get over the hump, boom, and then it's a slide into the weekend. So the president says he would want to hear foreign dirt on 2020 presidential opponents. And the reason he said that, of course, is he was talking to ABC News, and he said there's nothing wrong with listening. He was asked about, once again, 2016 and Donald Trump Jr. meeting with a Russian lawyer offering some dirt, negative info, whatever you want to call it, on Hillary Clinton, who was, of course, the focus of the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian meddling into the last presidential election. Because what happened in all that $1 million of documentation about the Russians' efforts to boost the Trump campaign and undermine Clinton, it was focused on info they had, info that they offered up, and especially WikiLeaks, if you think, in 2016, and all the info that was exposed by the Russian hackers. So it's interesting when the question is asked about the 2020 reelection campaign. And this was in an answer, question and answer session with reporters in the Oval Office, even in May. He said he would certainly agree that, you know, you think if you look at the opponents and you've got information that's being said to you, of course you're gonna listen to it. And he said that, you know, that's what anybody would do. FBI Director Christopher Wray immediately reacted and said that Donald Trump Jr. should have called the FBI to say what the offer was, that the Russians are offering up dirt. They're offering up stuff on Hillary Clinton. But Trump did the FBI director's wrong. And he did say an interesting line, one that I heard a lot as a kid. Life doesn't work like that. It's just not fair. So he was even asked whether his advisors should accept info from Russia, China, or another nation about an opponent or call the FBI this time. And he said, well, maybe you do both, because now we've been through the ringer with all of this. But he said, I think you'd want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent, I think I'd want to hear it. And it does beg the question of, would you say, nah, 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 nah. I can't do that. Because it's not attorney-client privilege. So I thought that was an interesting way to look at it. Of course, we certainly know that the accusations were flying around all over the place. And in the end, the president didn't succumb to whatever the Mueller investigation yielded. And now, after a lot of arm wrestling, Mueller will have to have some kind of testimony. So it seems like lately what we're embroiled in is, did you get a subpoena? I got a subpoena. Are you going to adhere to that subpoena? Are you going to cooperate? Are you going to be held in contempt? And speaking of contempt, how about this? A House committee voted to hold two of the president's officials, administration officials, in contempt of Congress because they didn't comply with subpoenas for documents related to the decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. The Democratic-controlled House Oversight Committee easily voted 24-15 to advance contempt measures against the Attorney General, William Barr, and the Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross. We knew this was coming. It was rolling down the hill. In fact, probably too many times we talked about it on the show when we had somebody on from Washington, and then it finally happens. Democrats' fear is that the citizenship question would reduce census participation in any immigrant-heavy areas, communities, and result in an undercount of minority voters. They say they want specific documents to determine why. Ross added the question to the 2020 census, and they are saying that the administration has declined to provide the documents despite repeated requests for it. The White House asserted executive privilege on it earlier this week. The Justice Department said they had engaged in good faith efforts to satisfy the committee's oversight needs and labeled the planned contempt vote unnecessary and premature. But Elijah Cummings was having none of that. He disputed the Justice Department's account, said most of the docs turned over to the committee were already public. And he says, we've got to protect the integrity of the census. We have to stand up for Congress's authority under the Constitution to conduct meaningful oversight. Meaningful oversight. So pretty interesting, because this goes to who would have an advantage. Like, that goes to the gerrymandering thing. If you're changing where lines are drawn, redistricting. So, for example, computer files from North Carolina redistricting expert Tom Hoffeller included calculations that would lay out some gains for the Republicans that they would see in Texas by basing legislative districts on the number of voting age citizens rather than the total population. So this is what's going on here. It's about voting. It's about numbers. That's what it's about. That's it. If that immigration question comes, that's the first time the immigration status has been asked since 1950. The Supreme Court is considering the citizenship question, and they're supposed to have a ruling by the end of the month. So the Supreme Court's ruling on it. When the census goes out, you either have the right to ask whether or not somebody is a citizen of the United States, and what are the odds the Supreme Court is going to rule in favor of that? That's going to be one to watch that will come down the pike. You think about the fact that the Department of Justice certainly has a right to do that, and Democrats are asking for documents that are privileged. So let's see if they get them or they don't get them. And this is typical. So you have Republicans lined up on one side and you have Democrats lined up on the other side. But it still comes back down to this. Should that question be in the mix or not? And the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, will make the decision on that. So a vote by the full House, by the way, to hold Barr and Ross in contempt on the census issue would not result in any real punishment, because they're not going to go to jail. They're not going to be arrested for it. It's more of a parliamentary thing. It's more of a formality that for the Democrats anyway, that they're pushing. It doesn't mean jail time. It doesn't mean that you're going to see any of that happen. It's just pushing it out there, pushing the story out there, and having people weigh in on fair or foul to put that question in. Interesting. Numbers, it is about numbers. We're talking about them next.
Attention GCN self-reliance listeners. If you've ever wanted an emergency solar survival backup system but were waiting for prices too crazy to pass up, this will be the most important message you'll ever hear. Bill Hyde here, and I want to tell you about a huge sale with historically low prices on our PPX microgrid system that's going to let you produce an endless supply of electricity off the grid. The clearance price is a result of the historic flooding we're having here right on the east bank of the Mississippi. Because of the flooding, we've had to move a lot of our inventory to a temporary location
and rather than move it back to the warehouse, we thought we'd offer the system at a price that might seem unbelievable if you didn't know the floodwaters backstory. So here's what you should do right now. Check out the PPX microgrid system at myownpowergrid.com. That's myownpowergrid.com. Over $1,000 in great off-the-grid gear and a ton of bonuses too. And the best part? You're not going to pay $750 or $500, $300, or even $200. Go to myownpowergrid.com to learn more. That's myownpowergrid.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Welcome to this edition of We Can Count, and we start with some scorching, record-breaking weather. Ever been in 120 degrees? Oof, that's like sitting in an oven, right? So in the West, that's exactly what's happening. If you're listening to me, and some of you are, thanks to KPAM in Portland, Oregon, record highs from Oregon to Arizona, heat wave advisories, all over the place. Our KCAA listeners in the Inland Empire there in SoCal sent me a few complaining notices. So in some major metropolitan areas, like Sacramento, San Francisco, Las Vegas, etc., Palm Springs, all of our great friends in Palm Springs, love me some Palm Springs. Oh, boy, I'm thinking of LG steak right now, but not sitting outside in 114 degrees. I've been in Palm Springs when it's been hot, and, of course, what you have to watch, that seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But what you have to watch for is heat exhaustion, heat cramps, heat stroke, all of that. So what do? Cooling stations. Of course, you big dummies in other parts of the country, they have cooling stations everywhere. Since I've lived in those areas, ton of time in Palm Springs, ton of time in California, lived in Vegas. I've been there during the sweltering weather, and they put out these advisories, and you do feel like you're sitting in a frying pan, but you take precautions, and that's exactly what is happening. The precautions, the big cooling stations come out, and then they tell you to watch. I mean, of course, you don't do ridiculous things between certain hours, like, you know, take a 20-mile run. I'm going to run in the middle of this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to run. So that's 120 degrees. Pretty, pretty warm, I would say. I've been there, though. Okay, recalls. What would we do without our auto recalls? If you are a Ford driver, raise your hand. I see hands going up around America. It's amazing how I can do it. The fabulous people at GCN, the mothership, spare no expense. I have the special glasses I wear where I can see when people respond to me on the air. So Ford, 1.2 million Explorer SUVs, 123 F-150s. Boy, they're all over my area. Pickups. And the reason is they're saying over a risk of losing steering control. Oh, that's not good. They found a defect that could cause a fractured rear suspension leading to the loss of steering control. So then, of course, that would raise the risk of what? Crashing. The Explorer recall is going to cost them about 180 mil. The F-150 is a little bit different. What they're talking about there is they've got, they weren't repaired in a previous recall they have, and the pickups could be subject to a sudden transmission downshift, and that would cause them to lose control, and it would result in what? The same thing, a crash. So if you drive those cars, and of course it varies, like the F-150s, 2012 to 2013, certain place where it would have been come off the line, like in Dearborn, Michigan, or at the company's Kansas City, Missouri plant. Just easy. Make a phone call. Look into it. Just be safe rather than sorry. Bourbon. Do you like it? Boy, lately a lot of people I know are into bourbon. There's bourbon tours. Not there isn't for whiskey or isn't for beer or all that. But it's interesting. People listening to us in the great state of Kentucky. Ooh, gotta have a bourbon in Kentucky if you partake in those things. Kentucky Peerless Distilling Company announced that they will, this week, will be releasing its first bourbon in 102 years to the public. They're going to do it on June 22nd. They're releasing it in limited quantities. What do you think that's going to cost? It was started back in 1889. And you got to go back to great-grandfather for that whole Peerless brand. It was once the second largest bourbon distillery, produced about 200 barrels of rye, whiskey, and bourbon a day until 1917 when they closed it because of World War I. Then they restructured the brand in 2015. They opened a new distillery in downtown Louisville. I'm sure you've seen it if you've visited that area. And here they are. They're excited to release it. I think that's pretty exciting. 102 years. They haven't. It's been that long. You know what the retail price is? It's actually not as high as I thought it would be. So the price is $69 to $79. How about that? If you know a bourbon drinker and you want a good present, that may be the place to go. We're talking about numbers if you just tuned in. This seg is called We Can Count. And then we can count when we look around. That's what I say, and that's how I started this. There's numbers everywhere we look. Everywhere. So $17 million for an expansion in Michigan. Who's planning that? Google. They're going to add jobs in Detroit and Ann Arbor. I was talking to someone about Michigan and how Detroit has really made a big comeback. Google employs about 600 people in Michigan, mostly in ad sales and tech support. So that's an investment. There'll be people that will be hired and they'll work for Google. And the expansion will grow their footprint in Michigan to many more square feet. They say they'll finish in Detroit in 2020, Ann Arbor in 2021. Self-driving car project is one of them. That's in Detroit. They're going to open a facility there. They'd have at least 100 people that would work there, up to 400 people, the potential of what they would have to hire. So it's interesting. Google has had a presence there for at least 13 years, and that's good news for people who need jobs in some way in the tech industry or connected to the tech industry. Anyway, I love this story. Love, 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 love. My favorite story of the last couple of days. Delta flew 41 fifth graders after a canceled flight left them stranded in Oklahoma. So they decided they were going to help these elementary school students. They were at an airport. American Airlines canceled their flight to Virginia and D.C. So guess what Delta did? They chartered a spare plane. They took the fifth graders and the chaperones from this elementary school in Oklahoma City to Virginia after they were stuck at the Will Rogers Airport. And, you know, this was special because Delta doesn't have a regular route to Virginia's state capital. But the group also got the whole plane to themselves. So they did this thing where they got the whole plane to themselves. And, of course, boy, did it work, because here's what one of the Twitter responses to this said. Chantel Barber, one of the chaperones, rather, said, "At Delta, thank you for getting this group of fifth graders out of Oklahoma City and onto Richmond, Virginia on a private flight when at American Air wanted to leave us stranded." And she tweeted a photo of some of the kids. "Most amazing corporation to work with at 3 a.m. So that photo has been shared all over the place, and the students got to make their trip. That's the thing. Because the flights were canceled because of the weather, and the weather was a big issue this past weekend that smacked Dallas, and American, of course, has a major hub there. But boy, Delta looks like the good guy, don't they? And they were the good guys by flying the fifth graders on a route that they don't normally take. So whoever made that decision, smart decision. Looks good, probably felt good, and then they get the spin as a result of it, because people read it and think, wow, what jerks American, and look what Delta did. Thank goodness they didn't leave them stranded when they, who knows how long they have been planning the trip. And plus, they were just stranded in the airport, so they rescued them in more ways than one. How about that? Mm-hmm. And then we've got a story, as we will do our cheap movie reviews coming up on our next show, but Samuel L. Jackson comes back into the movies. This guy couldn't be more popular, more of a hot actor. He knows how to play to the crowds. He's going to be John Shaft. Yeah. And you actually, the original Shaft, you'll get an appearance by him as well. But I wonder if people will go and see this new version of Shaft. Very, very popular once upon a time, decades ago. Samuel L. Jackson is popular. Maybe that's enough to make that happen. And we're going to top it off with one more cherry on top. A boyfriend flying 4,500 miles to surprise a prom date. Yeah, very, very surprised. Let's put it that way. That is a very good boyfriend. 4,500 miles. Wow. Stay with us.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel, and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House Oversight Committee votes to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of court for not handing over documents on the 2020 census. Committee Chairman, Maryland Democrat Elijah Cummings.
They both refused to comply with duly authorized subpoenas issued by this committee that require them to produce documents relating to the addition of the citizenship question.
Earlier, President Trump defended the inclusion of the question.
It's ridiculous. I think it's totally ridiculous that we would have a census without asking, but the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on it soon.
Back in March, the administration turned over 17,000 documents on the 2020 census, and Ross testified for nearly 7 hours. This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story, but freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
In this edition of For Your Health, we're being joined by Dr. Magdi Mylad. He is, listen to this title, he is the Chief of Gynecological Surgery at Northwestern Memorial Hospital and Medical Director for the Center for Comprehensive Gynecological Abnormalities, or what would be normal. And it's interesting because I know that there are plenty of people listening to us who are women or who love women and are concerned about all kinds of things that happen when you hit certain ages, when you're younger, et cetera, especially when it comes to hysterectomies. There's a lot of conversation about that. So, Doc, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
So here's the thing. When we talk about chronic and painful gynecological conditions, I read a staggering statistic that by the time American women are 60 years old, 1 in 3 have experienced some type of pelvic health disorder. Wow. And how many don't realize what's going on, and there's a lot of confusion, right?
I agree with that. Yeah, and I think it's a common scenario is that women sort of put it off. You know, they've got a lot of things going on, a full plate in their life, and it potentially just gets worse and worse to the point where, you know, it's so far gone, it's not that easy to sort of reverse.
Yeah, and one of the things I mentioned is hysterectomy, and I've certainly heard that from a lot of people in my neighborhood. I was just playing tennis with someone, and they were talking about complications from a hysterectomy, so it's so timely that you're here on this show. And explain hysterectomies and the alternatives to hysterectomies.
Sure, yeah. Hysterectomy is defined as removing the uterus surgically. There's a partial hysterectomy, which is where we remove just the uterus and leave the cervix. The cervix is where we do a pap smear. So in a woman that undergoes a partial hysterectomy, They still need pap smears until they're 65. As long as they stay normal, then they can stop. A total hysterectomy is where we remove the uterus and the cervix. Oftentimes with hysterectomy, we'll also remove the fallopian tubes. We think that removing the fallopian tubes may lower the risk of ovarian cancer in the future, which seems like kind of a crazy thing. You know, taking out the tubes reduces the risk of ovarian cancer, but we think those cells from the tube may seed the ovary and put patients at risk for ovarian cancer in the future. So if we're doing hysterectomy, we do remove the fallopian tubes oftentimes. But hysterectomy is done very commonly. Yeah, it's done, you know, 500,000 hysterectomies done a year. A lot of those are outpatient. They can be done as a small incision, laparoscopy or robotic or vaginal. But we're probably doing too many of them. I think a lot of women can be managed medically, either hormonally or non-hormonally, or using a procedure of some sort, some other thing short of hysterectomy. And hysterectomy should be only in the extreme.
So it's interesting because, as you said, a lot of times women put things off, then you get that chronic pain, then you hear, oh, I have to have a hysterectomy, then the panic sets in. So what you're saying is it'd be a good idea to really look around and talk about some of these alternatives, because there may be a way to treat it instead of going the surgery route.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think when, you know, like other complex chronic conditions, it's really important to approach it in kind of a multidisciplinary fashion. So just like if you had, I don't know, rheumatoid arthritis, you might not just see just one provider. You know, you might see multiple different types of doctors and other caregivers, so that you have a sort of like a different perspective to the same disease. So we've tried to design our clinic in that fashion so that it's a multidisciplinary experience, so that when patients leave after a single day, they have some answers and take that home. You know, so they see, oftentimes if they have fibroids, they might see a gynecologist, but they might also see an interventional radiologist, so that at the same visit, they can get opinions from two different disciplines, two different providers, and be able to go come home and say, yeah, I need this or that. This makes more sense for me. This is how I want to prioritize my symptoms, you know, whether it's bleeding or fertility or whatever. Same with pain. Patients that have pain, we have patients see a counselor. We have patients see a physical medicine doctor. We have patients see a physical therapist, a doctor that can do hormonal therapy, and a doctor that can do surgical therapy, so that they have this like multifaceted approach to the same chronic condition. And they can sort of design a protocol or a treatment plan that makes sense for them.
Yeah, wow. Listening to this, we're speaking with Dr. Magdi Mylad, and in this edition for Your Health, what I love when I'm hearing, Doc, first of all, I can hear your passion coming through, and I love comparing rheumatoid arthritis so people really understand that. But it's collaboration. So you're saying, like, in your practice, the power is in the collaboration with other ways you can treat something, or a couple of different ways to treat something, to give the woman the best shot of really having just a great experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's critical. And it's unusual that we have it all in the same center. You know, on the same office, we have all of these different providers. It's not easy to sort of set it up that way. There are a few places in the country that are doing it, but it's a rarity. More typically, patients will go see their general OBGYN, and then from there, they're referred to one person, and they go to that office to make an appointment, and so on. They sort of get distributed out and come back again and back and forth, back and forth. In our office, we all sit in the same place. So the patient goes from office to office to office within our center, all on the same floor. And then before they leave, they have opinions from all of us so that they can go home and sort of think through what makes the most sense for them. So I think that's number one, is that sort of that one-stop shopping. And the second thing is that this is all we do. So, you know, none of us deliver babies, and none of us do annual exams, and none of us are doing pap smears. And like, all we do is focus in. So you get pretty good at, you know, being an expert in that one specific line. Half my patients are patients with fibroids. I mean, so I think having someone who's like an expert in that one thing, just like any other thing, you get really good at it.
Yeah, and you say 3 out of 4, or some of the statistics I've seen, 3 out of 4 women will have one or more uterine fibroids at some point in their life, and it's like endometriosis, too, as well. It's something that people get confused about, and 1 in 10 women have to deal with that. So it goes back to the whole fibroids, et cetera, and dealing with that. And would you say it's just critical to not wait? Because it seems like a lot of people wait, and then a condition gets worse.
I think that's very concerning. Yeah, I think it's very easy for women who are super busy and trying to juggle multiple missions and that they sort of put things off, and as a result, things just get worse. And so, you know, I think you want to be really aware of, like, that this is interfering with my quality of life. You know, make sort of admit to yourself that I can't be intimate, I can't exercise, I can't be at work, like whatever it is that you're, you know, you can't do, this is important and it's resolvable. I worry about women sort of let it go, and then they, you know, now things are sort of like so far out of hand that sometimes therapies don't work. You know, the fibroids get to be the size of like a full-term pregnancy, we have less options.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
Yep. I'm glad you said that. So we talked a little bit. You mentioned hormones. You talked about therapy there. What are some of the other latest advances for women with these chronic gynecological conditions?
Yeah, so fibroids, the embolization has been around for 20 years, but now they've got it to, you know, perfect it. It takes like 30 minutes to cut off the blood supply to fibroids. It's an overnight stay and back to your usual stuff within a week. It's just amazing. And nowadays they can actually go through the arm, not the leg anymore. So about half the time they're going through the arm blood vessel. So there's no restrictions as far as activities afterwards.
Wow.
So that's a big one. There's new drugs that are out for pelvic pain and endometriosis. I'm sure you've seen the advertisements, but these tablets are act right away compared to our other drugs that sometimes take a little while to sort of ramp up. I've had young women in their 20s that were just demanding a hysterectomy. They were just at their wit's end with pain and interfering with their life. And within a few days of starting these new drugs, they were like, I'm a new person. So that's out there. There's probably a new drug coming out. There's new protocols that are coming out, sort of experimental protocols for fibroids and adenomyosis, which is a condition similar to endometriosis that causes painful heavy periods. And then finally, there's a new drug coming out probably next year or so that's already available in Europe that potentially could be used for maintenance. So you could potentially, a woman could sort of go on a drug and then come off of it and sort of keep those fibroids or endometriosis in check until such time as things change. Maybe they want to pursue a pregnancy or whatever it is. So all kinds of new things happening in this realm.
Yeah, so good thing to look for. Hey, we have like a minute left, and we're going to send people to where they can go for more information. But tell us about Northwestern's gynecological surgery program.
Yeah, I mean, I think Northwestern is really committed to women's health. And so, you know, we've had a women's hospital here for decades. They just built a new one about 10 years ago, Prentice Women's Hospital. So it just tells you, like, how they prioritize women's health. And they've done the same thing for gynecology as well. So the top floor of the brand newest building on campus is an entire floor of women's health. One third is for fertility patients. One third is our procedure room. And then the other third is our center for comprehensive gynecology, as well as our center for sexual medicine and menopause. So it just tells you how it's prioritized. And like I said, it's a one-stop shopping with experts. That this is all they do. This is all we do is pelvic pain, endometriosis, fibroids. And it's a great place to just get a second opinion. Make sure you're on the right track. Maybe what you're doing is exactly what it should be, but just to get a second opinion.
Oh, that's such good news to hear, that getting the second opinion, definitely. So we'll tell everyone to go to MIGS.NM.org for more information. Dr. Magdi Mylad, pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Months, a lot of times there are wonderful places where you can go and see animals, and there are animal-friendly vacations, but finding the right animal spots and where they are true sanctuaries and not some of these roadside zoos where you've got abuse and mistreatment of animals, boy, that is key. So I thought it was so timely to have on our show John D. Leonardo, who's manager for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, to join us and talk about exactly that. Hey, John, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Yeah, well-meaning tourists don't always do right by animals when planning their vacations, such as riding elephants who are beaten into submission, staring at bears who are languishing in decrepit roadside zoos, or swimming with dolphins confined to tiny enclosures. But there's good news. There are many animal-friendly activities one can choose instead, such as observing animals in their natural homes or at nature preserves or visiting reputable sanctuaries, which allow visitors to enjoy seeing animals without harassment or intrusion.
Boy, I so agree with that. I just was at one of those, a place called Fossil Rim, and it's exactly how you described it, John. And it made me think, as we were having this conversation here at the top, how many animals has PETA rescued from circuses and some of these roadside zoos and these other places where the animals aren't being treated correctly?
But just in the last 6 years, PETA has rescued 72 bears, 39 tigers, 11 chimpanzees, and 2 baboons from lives of deprivation, all of whom now live in reputable animal sanctuaries where they have space to roam and climb and are finally able to exhibit many of the natural behaviors their relatives in the wild do.
Yeah, when people are at some of these other places and, you know, they're on vacation and they don't know some of the background, how can they sort of take notice of the abuse, or how can they look and try to find out more about what's happening there?
Roadside zoos often have animals in, you know, languishing in bear pits or tiny cages, in real sterile environments where there's not much enrichment and where there's not acreage for them to roam. Reputable animal sanctuaries also don't take animals out, away from their parents. They don't separate babies from their mothers, and they don't take animals out of their cages in order to do photo shoots with the public. They also don't allow the public into those cages to do those things either. I mean, go ahead.
So you've touched on it in natural environments and stuff. So it's, what kind of conditions do the animals, you know, have to have? What do they really need to be? They need to be in their natural habitat, like you said, climbing, etc., right?
Yeah, the wild animals belong in the wild. I mean, there's no kind way to beat an elephant with a bullhook or to stuff her into a tiny cage. I mean, if these animals have been abused for many, many years, they may not be releasable to their natural environment, but there are still many reputable animal sanctuaries in the United States where people can visit and these animals can go and learn how to be a wild animal again. I mean, one great example is a roadside zoo called Deer Haven Mini Zoo in Kmar, Maryland. Lily the bear was living in a cage there so small that she could only take a few steps in any direction and often couldn't lie down without soiling her coat with her own waist. She was morbidly obese as a result of the chronic neglect she suffered for more than a decade, but after receiving a barrage of phone calls from concerned PETA supporters, the zoo sent Lily to the Wild Animal Sanctuary in Colorado, where she's lost at least 200 pounds and is thriving. And we're also pleased to report that the Deer Haven Mini Zoo is no longer operating.
Wow. So we're speaking with John DiLeonardo. You're listening to us. He's the manager for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and we're talking about, you know, the use of animals in entertainment areas, circuses and roadside zoos and that kind of thing. Even dolphins, certainly you see that there's this great push to swim with dolphins. But what's the problem with that, John? And for people listening who are saying, what's wrong with swimming with a dolphin?
Yeah, in Swimmer Dolphin Park, dolphins are denied everything that's natural to them. While dolphins in the wild would swim up to 60 miles a day in the ocean, in captivity, they're confined to tiny tanks or polluted sea pens, forced to hold tourists on their backs, which is highly stressful and potentially harmful to them. Many die prematurely from the stress of confinement. I mean, this industry is driven by well-meaning tourists. But you can help by telling everyone you know to steer clear of aquariums like SeaWorld and swim with dolphin parks wherever you see them.
Yeah, and so as you said, the key is finding out where some of those places are, being a good advocate for the animals. Because as I sit here listening to this conversation that we're having, and I'm thinking the people at home all over the United States are listening to this, and you said it, you've rescued 72 bears, 39 tigers, 11 chimpanzees, 2 baboons, and they had lives, right, where they had massive deprivation and they didn't have enough place to roam. Is that correct?
Yeah. These animals were languishing oftentimes in their own waste. But because people are willing to speak up, we're able to help these animals. I mean, PETA's a wonderful organization. I'm proud to be a part of it, but we would be nothing without our supporters. I mean, we have 6.5 million supporters worldwide, and we rely on those supporters to take action, to go to our website at PETA.org and to sign our action alerts and call these facilities and tell them to do right by the animals, to release the animals to sanctuaries, and to stop breeding them into lifetimes of confinement.
Yeah, there you go. Lifetimes of confinement. What does it mean? You said it for you, what PETA means, but for you personally to be involved in this, what does that mean to you? Because this is such a great campaign and one that's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be working in, you know, our animals and entertainment division in particular. I mean, just in the past 2 years, we saw Ringling Brothers Circus, you know, fall after 146 years of use and abuse of animals. We've seen Kelly Miller Circus go totally animal-free, and we've seen Cole Brothers Circus, you know, go off the road. So it's an exciting time. I mean, with Ringling Brothers shutting down and SeaWorld no longer breeding the orcas, people are clearly against, you know, confining animals to tiny tanks for entertainment. But the fight isn't done. I mean, even SeaWorld, they may have stopped breeding the orcas, but they're still forcibly impregnating other dolphins and whales. They're still standing on the faces of these dolphins and surfing on their backs in circus-style shows. So it's exciting, but we still have a lot more work to get done. And we rely on members and supporters to speak out and, you know, speak up for these animals.
Yeah, and a good thing to emphasize again, John, is you talked about it. The great news is there are animal-friendly activities that you can do. And I mentioned I did one that was in outside of Glen Rose, Texas, a place called Fossil Rim, natural environment, no harm to animals, no confinements, none of that kind of stuff. And you could actually observe the animals in their natural homes at this kind of a preserve. So there are many, many opportunities to do that in the United States and other places, right?
Yeah. I mean, we encourage people to go to preserves and to support conservation efforts that are conserving wild habitats where these animals roam. We encourage people to go to reputable animal sanctuaries, virtual zoos, and circuses that only use willing human performers.
Yeah. Wow. Such a good time for this because animal vacations are certainly on the rise and people aren't always aware of what's happened. And now you shed some light on that. And the summertime is when a lot of that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, people are looking for things to do with their kids on summer vacation, but children have a natural love and affinity for animals. And if they knew that animals suffer when they're forced to be displayed, performed, or interacted with the public, they'd run kicking and screaming from these facilities. Children instead can learn how to appreciate wild animals through books and videos that show animals in their natural habitats, or observing them on nature hikes, at beaches, at reputable animal sanctuaries that allow unobtrusive public visits.
Yeah, absolutely. You see that with the turtles, et cetera. So, John DeLeonardo, thank you so much for joining us, Manager for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And, again, where can people go? They can go to PETA.org, correct?
Yeah, PETA.org.
I was an animal in the trees, hiding behind you on my hands and knees, sizing your body up down to the earth, waiting to leap out and ready to pounce. I dreamed of a paradise where we could stay, with wild and bright beaches where children would play.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.